You may be seated. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezra, chapter number 4. That's page 569 if you need it in the pew Bible. It will be the first place that we'll go this evening. I have a couple things to say. First of all, you'll notice on the back wall there are some larger prints of what the church voted on Sunday night. So if you'd like to go by and take a look at it, James will be standing by to answer your questions right after this service. And there's measurements that you will be able to read most certainly. And he's happy to have a chalk talk with you. They're on the back wall anytime. There they are. Boom. We're looking forward to the wards. I think you're due today, aren't you? And so no performance anxiety. You don't feel like you have to make it happen. And I'm so thankful. We're looking forward to a healthy birth, healthy baby. This afternoon, I was in Winston-Salem. Our fourth granddaughter was born early this morning, so we're really happy about that, yes. And so I went over there, bounced her, you know, and man, she was so calm. And I told her, I'm not going to tell your big sisters, but you're definitely the cutest by far, so far. And I won't tell a soul. Okay, let's see. There's a couple things to tell you. First of all, don't forget Friday. I know, just in case, Pastor John has a lot to cover with prayer. Friday night, we need to be, if you're going to take part in carrying a poster for the parade, that's 5 o'clock in the parking lot across from First Baptist Church. The sign-up sheet is still out there, right? But a great statistic, I'm told that we've had more sign-up from Sandy Ridge this year than ever before. And so that is a sign of the Spirit of the Lord moving in our church. And I'm thankful for that. That's great. Saturday, there's men's breakfast. He'll take your names. Actually, let's do that right now. You want to? If you didn't put a card in the envelope, Pastor John, would you stand and take a look at the names that will be raised? If you didn't put a card in the offering on Sunday, but you want to come to the men's breakfast, please, men, hold your hands up until Pastor John writes it down. We've got Stephen Griffin. We've got Juan and Elijah Trevino moving over here. Erica, come on. I'm just kidding. Michael is coming. Steve Church. Charles Bocon. Did you get all those names so far, brother? Michael Faulkner. Yep. Charles Bocon. Glenn Coslin. Your dear son, the prophet. Frankie Joshua. Joseph Rochelle. Plus one. We've got Ryan. What's that?
Ryan and Carson
are coming. Chuck Denton. You doing okay so far? Okay. Chucky, Rick, Nolan, we've got Eric Weaver and James Kerrigan. Okay, got Denny Rosinski, got Glenn Kerrigan, got Darren Sanders, and the other two reverends. All right, I think that's it. Did I not? Oh, Sandy, you can't come either. Okay, so they will have Gold Star guests with them on Sunday. Please speak to them on Sunday. That would be great. Okay, so this evening I want you to see something in the book of Ezra. I feel like you're, yes, I know what else I was going to say. 1 week from tonight, we're going to have a dessert fellowship. We're going to have a hymn sing. So in other words, we're going to come next week, drop your dessert off in the basement, come back up here. It'll be pick a hymn night for 20, 30 minutes. And we'll do a devotional, then we'll go and eat pie. Look, take part in the fellowship, even if you don't want to eat dessert. I get it. Some people are not interested in eating dessert. I get it. But fellowship anyway, that's part of church life. Just come and enjoy the time. And what? Okay. And then on December the 13th, we're probably going to have, which is a Wednesday, we're going to have a husband and wife and their band from Nashville come and do a Christmas concert. So that'd be December the 13th. And please set your mind on being faithful, especially these Wednesdays coming up, and invite someone with you. We're a little low because we have some families that have called ahead and said, hey, we're out of town or we have this going on. You'll hear more about that during prayer time. All right, so you're going to notice here Ezra chapter 4. page 569. All right. Ezra chapter number 4. You're going to notice in verse number 24, the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So I'm going to go right here, and I'm going to write down Ezra 4:24. Second year of Darius, king of Persia, Ezra 4:24. And then you're going to notice in chapter number 6, and of Ezra, that's Ezra chapter number 6, you're just flipping a page. Look at chapter number 15. You're going to notice the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. So that's Ezra 6:15. Ezra 6:15. Now, there's some strange things that happen in Ezra chapter 6, but remember, we're talking about 500 plus years before Jesus comes to earth, and they're rebuilding Solomon's temple. I'm saying rebuilding, but it's nothing like it, and the materials are even probably much different. So you have this guy, Zerubbabel, who is listed in chapter 5 and verse 1 of Ezra, who's being required to rebuild the temple. He's got a high priest working with him in verse 1 and in verse 2 of chapter 5. His name is Jeshua. Okay, now let's work through this a little bit. So this is the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. The temple is completed, says chapter 6, verse 15, in the sixth year. Now, in just a moment, I want to show you something here in chapter number 6. We'll take questions in just a moment. You're going to notice, as we discussed in a previous lesson about a month ago, in Ezra chapter number 5, the governor of Jerusalem area writes to this Darius and says, hey, these people are building a temple. Are they allowed to do that? And then he replies in chapter 6, Darius does to that governor and says, yeah, they're allowed to do it. And you'll notice verse number, chapter 6 and verse number 12, may the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter it. And you're going to notice that Darius actually tells them in verse number 8, look at there, I issue decree as to what you will do for the elders of the Jews. For the building of this house of God, let the cost be paid at the king's expense. So here in this area between these two dates, Darius says, not only are they allowed to do it, we're going to pay for it. Now, what happens to make that happen? If all you have is the book of Ezra, then you might just think he had a change of heart. And who knows? Maybe there's no answer. Maybe all we can do is guess. The guy just wants to pay now for another God's temple. That seems very peculiar. What are they doing? Tonight, we're going to look at the answer to that question. Look at the book of Zechariah, chapter number 6. Zechariah, chapter number 6. Look at, that's page 1163 in the Pew Bible. We're going to find out what caused this change. All righty. So here's what we know to be true. They start building again in the second year of Darius. They're done building in the sixth year of Darius. Look at chapter 7, verse 1 of Zechariah. Could you please tell me the date of that? Right, the fourth year of Darius, and that is found in Zechariah chapter number 7 and verse number 1. So, this evening's passage is right in here. Zechariah chapter number 6, we're going to go verses 1 through 8. Zechariah 6, 1 through 8 takes place right before chapter 7, verse 1, where we find out it's in the fourth year of Darius. We're going to find out here tonight from the God word side of the thing, what caused Darius to have a change of heart? And hopefully, in about 10 minutes, you'll be able to say, I think that I can see those changes in my life because there's some things about God that haven't changed. That's the goal. So, chapter 6 of Zechariah, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's read a verse or two at a time. I'll go first. Then I turned And by the way, you're about to read, some of you are going to want to say amen, the last vision of the book of Zechariah. Here we go. Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze.
The first chariot had red horses, the second chariot black horses.
With the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dapple horses, strong steed. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked to me, "What are these numbers?" And the angel answered and said to me, "These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The lion are going up after them.
Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, "Go walk to and fro throughout the earth." So they walked to and fro throughout the earth.
He called to me and spoke to me, saying, "See, those who go toward the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country."
All right, that's the word of the Lord. Yeah, thanks be to God. That's God's word. So what we read here is going to give us the answer to what was the change of heart, or at least possibly, what led to this Darius saying, not only can they build their temple, but we're going to pay for it. It's found in this passage. So let's ask a few questions. You help me teach this lesson here. You're going to notice in verse number one that there are two mountains. So he's seen a vision. And he sees a vision of some bronze horses or some bronze mountains, and he sees four chariots coming between two mountains. All right, where is the temple built? This will help us identify these mountains, maybe. Where is the temple that they're building? Give me a city. Jerusalem, right. And specifically, Charles tells us, Mount Zion. So we don't know what these two mountains are. It is, after all, a vision. But the fact that the writer says he saw these four chariots between two mountains, probably, it makes good sense. He's looking north up that Kidron Valley, and he sees the Mount of Olives on the right and Mount Zion on the left. That's a good possibility. Then you're going to notice that there are four different color horses. Can you help me spot them, please? Give me a verse and a color. Red and black in verse 2. White in verse what?
Verse 3.
In verse 3, and dappled. Huh. Dappled. And you'll notice that the dappled ones are called strong steeds in verse 3. And then they're referred to again in verse 7. Then the strong steeds went out. And that's found at the end of verse 3. Dappled horses, strong steeds. So you've no doubt read the book of Revelation. Are these colors mentioned there? White definitely is. And what is white a picture of there in Revelation 6? Christ or the Antichrist. What did I hear over here?
Conquest.
It's a champion riding on a white horse. He's got a bow. Okay. And then what other horses have we found in Revelation? What color?
Red.
And is that found in Revelation? It is. And what is that in the book of Revelation?
War.
That's right. Okay, Juan, you can't play anymore. Are there any other colors? Any other colors of horses among these four besides red and white that are in Revelation? Black. That's found in Revelation. And what is that a picture of in Revelation? It says so. Famine. Right. We're not guessing on this. It's what it says. So the white horse in Revelation is a picture of conquest. The red horse is a picture of war. The black horse is a picture of famine. And then what is the fourth one in Revelation?
Pale.
You know what? I don't know that dappled is the same thing as pale. Tons of commentators are split on this. They don't know. And here's what they usually say. It must be. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that three out of the four line up and the fourth one doesn't. So usually people are like, dappled might mean speckled. It might mean green, pale green. Ah, there's that word pale. And so they usually say it's the same colors. Well, here, they're not single riders. They're not single horses. They're chariots. And you can see that they might stand for that again. It makes good sense. One thing you'll notice is that the Revelation writer is not making up stuff. He's taking old material out of the Old Testament, like we're used to by now. He just uses old stuff out of the Old Testament. And it seems natural then to say, well, if red means war in Revelation, it probably means that in Zechariah. But it is very difficult to be dogmatic on it. But if you're to say, I'm gonna take your life tonight if you don't pick a team, okay, no problem. Red means war. That's it. But since we're not in that situation, we can be a little flexible and take a good guess. Educated guesses, you have four types of spirits of the Lord going out into the world, because that's what it says they are. You're going to notice, can you help me find the verse that says that these four chariots are spirits of the Lord? Verse 5 says they are. These are four spirits of heaven. So this is not terribly deep. The question is, what does this verse mean by spirits? Let's hold our place here. I don't want to guess if we can help it. Let's look back at chapter number 1. Look at chapter number 1 and notice verse number 7. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo the prophet. Now I'm in chapter 1, verse 8. I saw by night, behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. You'll notice it's not holler, it's hollow. And behind him were horses, red sorrel. Man, what is sorrel now? Anyway, white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I'll show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So look here. They answered the angel of the Lord. Who is the they? A little louder, please. This is why I like people sitting closer. I can hear you better. They are the horses. They answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees. So the horses are talking. Well, that's interesting. Now, I will admit, this is a vision. I don't think we have another case here of talking animals like Balaam's donkey, the serpent in the garden, and the horses in Zechariah. This is a vision. But if chapter 6 says they're spirits and they are the spirits that talk, what do you think these angels, what do you think these horses are? And I would say they are angels. Totally blew that up. So it's great to catch yourself. And it's terrible when you don't. So when you get to chapter number 6, it looks like the angels, the horses are angels going to and fro throughout the whole earth. You might notice in verse number 7, something that might solidify the idea that these are angels. You'll notice that in verse number 6, that we're in chapter 6, verse 6, the one with black horses is going to the north country. Look at verse 7. The strong steeds went out eager to go that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, go walk to and fro throughout the earth. And they walked to and fro throughout the earth. So it says that three times. Can you think of anyone else who is described as walking to and fro throughout the earth? Satan. What book? The book of Job in the Old Testament. That's another clue that these are angels, because the other time where we hear of people walking to and fro throughout the earth, it is an angel named Satan who is doing that. So what have we got so far in these eight verses? We have four different color angel horses going throughout the different parts of the earth. Now, we're not told where all of them go, but we are told where verse number 6, the black horses go. They go to the north country. Now, if you'd like to write down next to that, Jeremiah 50 verse 9, it calls the north country Babylon. That's Jeremiah 50 verse 9. So in this passage, the black horses are being sent to Babylon. All right, so let's put that in there in verse 6. We're wrapping it up. The one with the black horses is going to Babylon. The white are going after them. So, I mean, if it means the same thing as the book of Revelation, you have famine going to Babylon, followed by conquest. I don't know. All I know is that you have two groups of angels. One symbolizes what appears to be famine. The other symbolizes what appears to be conquest of some kind. Who knows? But they're going to Babylon. I hope it builds some confidence in you that even the pastor guesses sometimes. This is a vision in the Old Testament. And here you have in verse number 6, they're going to Babylon. Notice in verse number 8, he called to me. Now, all right, so now Zechariah is the me because he's speaking. You're going to notice that there are, in verse number 5, you have the Lord speaking. Watch this now. Look at verse 5. The angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord." Now you're going to notice in verse number 7, the strong steeds went out. Went out from where? Help me out from verse 5. The strong steeds in verse 7 went out from where? From before the Lord. They were eager to go, that they might walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, that's the Lord said, go walk to and fro throughout the earth. So verse 8, Zechariah says, the Lord called to me and spoke to me. So if I were you, and I didn't want to learn this twice, I would circle the word he in verse 8, and I would draw a line up to the word Lord in verse 5 and circle that. That's what I would do. That's what I did. And in verse 8, the Lord called to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who go toward Babylon have given rest to my spirit in Babylon, the north country. Right? Are you following this? Okay. Now, if you have a translation that says, caused my anger to rest, that's a terrible translation. Just forget that. It's supposed to be spirit. It's the same Hebrew word, ruach. There's no trickery here at all. The Lord said, see that those black horses who go towards Babylon have given rest to my spirit there. So here's what we know by the end of the vision. If you're like, I have no idea what those 8 verses are saying, here's what you should know. The Lord has sent his spirit to Babylon, who, before the fourth year, who is in Babylon? We're looking for one particular figure. Darius. That's where the head of the empire is. They had a summer palace. They had a winter palace. He spent some time in Shushan, some time in Babylon. So here in this passage, you're seeing probably the reason Darius wants to help fund the project back in Jerusalem is because, and it's finished here, is because here in this area, Darius has been dealt with by God's Spirit. Let's review. They start building in Darius' second year. They're done building in Darius' sixth year. They get a vision before Darius' fourth year. And somehow in Ezra 6, Darius wants to have a change of heart and fund the project. Why did it happen? You should be saying right now, it happened because God's Spirit was dealing with him in Babylon. Proof text, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 8. Is this a hard passage? Yep. Did it take me a long time to tease out these 15 minutes to talk to you? Yep. Am I glad that I'll probably never teach Zechariah 6, 1 through 8 again? I'm not officially allowed to say so. But the truth is, this is good because it teaches us that when you have an unmovable object you can't control, God's Spirit does the work in a location you're not at. Dealing with people you can't control, providing resources you don't have. And when you're sleeping, God's Spirit is not. And when you're hundreds of miles away from the person that can change your destiny, the Lord is there. He has sent his spirit into the north country. So that is a good lesson because it means that when things are out of your control, God is already dealing with that trouble person in your life. The person that you can't mess with, you can't reach, you can't touch, you can't change. You can't get behind their door. You can't get into their mind. But God has sent his spirit there. And when you see a change, that person might even say, I've had a change of heart. But the truth is God's spirit was dealing with them. So God's spirit is still dealing with his people in this way. First, when God wanted to send his son, the Holy Spirit moved in Mary and she conceived of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was growing in wisdom and in stature, he had favor with the Holy Spirit. If you're wondering why Jesus had the strength to do the miracles and teach the way that he did, wonder no more and don't dare say it because he was God. The Bible tells us it's because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. If you're wondering how he died, he did so, Hebrews 9:17, he did so through the eternal Spirit. If you're wondering how he rose from the dead, Romans 8:11 says the Spirit of God raised his dead body. If you're wondering how he even right now intercedes for us, Romans 8:26 says because the Spirit makes groanings for us with things that cannot be uttered. Do you see that? So even in the story of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is doing the work. And so even today, Christians should not be surprised when they are asked to do things that are beyond their power, because our God has not changed and he sends his Spirit into the North Country. Amen. Come on, Pastor John. Have your prayer requests ready.